non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
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 Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. I just realized that I forgot to get a passage of scripture ready to read.
I'll read one.
Well, I was just going to say, for this episode, just read all of Romans chapter 1.
that's pretty fitting. Yours better right
we'll
now.
We'll just say that. We'll just go with that.
Yeah.
So just read Romans 1. You're good.
Sure.
Welcome back. This is the Bear, obviously, in the hosting seat today. Jeff is in Kauai, so which I'll talk about in a second. I just got back late last night, and so my brain is half here and half on a tropical island.
Yeah.
So forgive me if it doesn't work appropriately. But on my right here is the Hamburglar, Jack Attack.
What's up, everybody?
Zach Conover,
good to be here.
One of many nicknames.
I don't know the story behind that.
The Hamburglar?
Oh, it's a simple story.
Well, this is Joy,
it just happened a couple
Joy
times.
The married girl hunter. It's just
yeah.
Weird. It's weird saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hamburglar.
It's okay. I can be the girl.
You can be
it's
the
really
girl.
Not
you're still
at all or...
who happens to be married.
That yeah. happens to be married.
To an awesome guy.
Girls are married also.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That is, yeah. To men even.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hamburglar story is there's been numerous instances where Zach has inadvertently taken my hamburger and eaten it.
Oh,
yeah.
like more than once, at least twice.
Funny enough, one of those instances happened on Kauai.
Yeah.
Which I know you're going to talk about,
yeah.
But it's happened a couple times. The last time I will still attest to the fact that it was very inadvertent. It was an accident. I even looked at the order receipt to make sure I was getting the right one. And my burger that I had ordered had a hot sauce on it. And unfortunately, that was left for you. And you have a hard time with hot stuff.
Yeah. So we had the same exact same burger, except his had hot sauce on it. And he ate the entire burger. And then I go to get mine, and there's only one with hot sauce. And I was like, did you eat my burger again?
Well, right now, that's not going to happen because he's only allowed to drink liquids.
That's true.
Because
right.
he's being
that's
supportive
right.
husband.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to be at least.
So he ate the whole burger without realizing there was no hot sauce on
so
it.
So unless you bring a shake, a protein shake in, he's not going to steal your food.
Can you put hot sauce in your shake? In your protein shake?
No, that would make me even hungrier than I am.
Oh.
And I've had very few things to eat the last couple of days. But
I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Hey, that's love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's what it's about.
Wait, what does that have to do with being on a diet? You're doing it in support of your wife?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know if you mentioned that.
It's not for me.
Already?
Trust me. I wouldn't be doing it. Trust me. Yeah.
Okay.
It's totally for her.
I think our audience
like
may have missed
thing.
That.
Support, encouragement,
okay.
doing it
yeah.
with her, alongside mm-hmm. her, walking through it with her.
Right on.
Just, yeah.
Well, good on you.
Hey, man.
Good on you. So,
by the
yeah.
grace of God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. So I just returned myself, my family, Pastor Zach and his family, and then Jeff and his family are all there and still in Kauai. We were there supporting our team. We just celebrated the 1-year anniversary of the church plant,
yeah.
which is pretty Apology awesome.
Apologia Kauai.
Yeah, so exciting stuff ahead this year. We're actually going to be, Zach will be there next month. I'll be there in March. We're alternating months on sending guys out to help support Pastor Claudia and the team out there throughout this, at least for the next 6 months or so, to kind of help them. And they just got some really awesome stuff going on, and it's exciting. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, and so with that, we did post a giving fuel. We have a bit of a need. We need to raise money. So if you want to be help us and partner with us in that we'd be super grateful for this upcoming year.
And I just say the work out there is completely worthwhile. I mean, it's worth obviously families selling their possessions, you know, decreasing their living situation even while they were here in Arizona before they moved out there, sacrificing so much, and then believing in the mission that God has called them to go out there and essentially win those islands to Christ.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it's all about. Hawaii was once a Christian kingdom.
Yep.
And by God's grace, that's what it will be again. And we're believing God for big things.
Right. Absolutely. That. Yeah. Actually, God just blesses with an amazing opportunity to rent a house from a member at Apologia Kauai, which is amazing. It's like impossible. I mean, we were even trying to do it before we came on this trip. And if you're not on the island, they don't even talk to you.
You don't exist. Yeah. It's like you're not even alive.
Well, and like, I don't think people even we don't totally understand that there's only, like, how many people have really lived in a place where there's only so many houses.
Right,
right.
Like, even in Arizona, there's always stuff being built.
Right.
It's a huge sprawl. It's like one of the biggest cities in the United States, but like,
there's space
here. Yeah. We're all connected and we make up this huge contiguous United States, but Kauai especially. So even just Hawaii is small.
It's
Kauai
small
is
island.
Even smaller. Mm-hmm. And then it's like jungle and
farmland.
Yeah. Right. So there's literally only so many houses on that island.
But funny enough, last time I was there, I do remember seeing houses being built.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Oh, there's really some development.
There's a new one right there in Lihue by the airport.
Yeah. Expensive is kind of a
an
relative term for any shanty that you happen to abide in. But
yeah. So God gives out this opportunity. It's amazing. It's actually going to be, it'll be way cheaper for us to lease a house throughout the year than, you know, the amount of money we spend on 1 week.
Right.
Yeah.
On a couple of trips.
Support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, praise God for that. But like I said, if you guys want to partner with us, we'd be eternally grateful for that.
Pray for the team out there
too. For the team out there. Yes, absolutely. I don't have time to get into all of it today, but man, just some of the stories we were hearing from this last year of just like spiritual attack, like the darkness that's on that island is crazy. You didn't even get to hear some of the stuff. You'll hear it when you go.
But
yeah, just it's crazy intense. So again, we're thankful for everyone that's been a part of that. So I just told these two right before we went live, there was something we talked about.
You can't even get through
in Kauai this last week that I've been laughing about for an entire week straight. And so there, have you guys heard of unassisted sea births?
No.
I'm not going to play the video because it's completely inappropriate. So there's a thing called I can't even talk. Unassisted sea birth.
You mean what, like, ocean animals do?
Yes.
Okay, not humans, right?
Yes.
But, okay, good.
So, and I'm going to give a warning. If you look it up on YouTube, there are videos. Just know that they're what you think they are.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
We laughed and laughed and laughed because there's this one video in particular where there's a husband and his wife. I'm assuming they're married. And when that may not be, but they're in the ocean. And she's giving birth, and they're both completely naked, even the dude, which is, I don't understand. But it's a thing. It's a thing.
Into the ocean. The ocean is not a terribly clean
exactly.
place. And there's a current.
Yeah. Well, they're like in a
it's nice moving.
Warm like pool of water, I think. But that actually...
Okay, so it's kind of like...
I was going to say...
But that makes it even more concerning to me because... You're in still water at that point. It's not like you're out where there's a lot of water
movement.
Circulating. You know, I'm like, there's eels and sea cucumbers and who knows what else.
It wouldn't strike me as a terribly at peace environment for a mom to give birth. Like, I feel like
it pretty at peace.
I feel like when a woman, because I mean, two kids, I'm not an expert, but those times, like, you want stress and every trace of it eliminated from the environments.
Yeah.
Because it is an intense time.
Do they just let you do that?
I don't know.
I feel like that's something the government would be like, that's not okay.
Right?
I'd
they would totally,
guess
yeah.
They're also, what are you going to do? Walk up to a lady and be like, you have to go.
Yeah.
Right. I'd be like, afraid I'm of not like, going anywhere.
Yeah, you don't mess with women who are about to give birth.
There's all those like amoebas and like waterborne illnesses that can,
well,
you know.
Well, are there benefits to it?
There's got to be a side of the story I'm missing where someone makes the case like, this is what you should do.
I just think it's people going back to Romans 1.
Yeah.
They just want to be one with nature and, you know, like there's some kind of like, that's what they worship type of thing.
I do understand like the arguments for like water birth.
Right.
Yeah. But, oh, absolutely.
But salt water is ocean is weird. I don't know.
It's strange.
I mean, what if like a shark swims up and snatches your baby?
I know.
I mean, like, who knows? Like an octopus is in a lying in wait, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like a number of things out of
like
your control.
A kid that would have a movie made about it. Octopus raised by family of octopus.
Yeah.
Instead of Jungle Reunited Book, it's the ocean family. Book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Raised as a fish.
No. There's definitely a worldview underneath it somewhere that says this is what you should be doing. This is a good thing to do. I'd love to find out what that is.
I know. I want to find it here with the benefits.
Now I'm curious.
But...
So, anyways, I just thought of it. It'd be fun to talk about. We laughed a lot this last week about it.
Well,
so,
thanks for sharing. I'm sure that it provided colorful laughter and commentary the whole time you were there.
Plenty of it, yes. So, that being said, let's get into the first thing we want to talk about was, I'm going to pull up the article here.
Yeah.
There was a pastor, and actually I've tried to reach out to him through someone else, so we might be able to get him on. I'm trying.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So his name is Pastor Justin Hoke of the Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church in Weed, California.
Say it one more time.
Oh gosh, that's hilarious.
Church. Reformed Church.
Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church in Weed.
Yeah.
California.
I know. Someone was like, we're running out of, what's California-ish sounding?
Yeah.
Weed.
Okay. Yeah. We like weed. Weed's good. Yeah. And then they just name a place after it.
So he made a church sign after another thing in the news we'll talk about here in a second. He made a church sign, and I say kudos to you, Justin Hoke.
Yeah, dude.
And it said,
praise God.
Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still sin. The culture may change, but the Bible does not. I love it. Nailed it.
Tell the
truth. And if I had a church sign, I would want to do the same thing.
Amen.
So good job, Justin Hoke. So then why it got in the news was because then, you know, there's these transgender people or something.
They were LGBT.
Safe love group or something like that.
Yeah.
They did a love rally and then they ended up getting vandalized. And what's really sad is this man, Justin Hoke, ended up having to step down from his position. There was a rumor originally was said that he got fired. He didn't technically get fired. There's basically what they were like, if you stay, everybody but one family's leaving the church, which is crazy.
Unbelievable.
That Reformed church, they
a
were
Reformed
like,
church.
Yeah, even the other elder on staff was like, I can't stay here if you're here. So basically he stepped down in order to not destroy the church.
Can we read that? Can we read, cuz he gave an explanation.
Yes.
Of that too.
I
he
have
gave
it right here.
Reasons,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He said, as of today, I'm no longer the pastor of Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church. After much prayer and counsel, I have decided that it is best to briefly communicate what has taken place. One, I was informed by our other elder that he felt he could no longer follow my lead as pastor of TVPC. Two, I was informed that essentially all but one couple membership would leave the church if I continued as pastor at TVPC. Three, our other elder and the couple felt that those who left would likely return if I would leave. Four, our other elder was agreeable to stay and assume the pastoral responsibilities. Therefore, it was determined that it would be in the best interest of the local body for us to part ways.
Okay, so obviously there's been a shift in the liberalizing of even Reformed churches recently.
Yeah.
I mean, we know about OPC, you know, PCA, how certain churches within that are just going way left in terms of the gender issues, homosexuality, all that stuff. And then, I mean, you have a Reformed church. I mean, we're talking about a church that's rich in doctrinal history, confessions of faith, grounding in scripture, all of these things that make, you know, classical Orthodox Christianity mm-hmm. what they are.
Mm-hmm.
In the society, the current day and age that we live in, you have an elder approaching the other elder and members of the church threatening to leave.
Forming a coup.
If a pastor just says things that are true.
Right.
Bruce Jenner is a man.
Yeah.
That's a true statement.
Yeah.
Biologically speaking. He is a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how he feels. He's a man.
Right.
His commentary that he was making through that sign applies to his church, as he found out.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
He's saying his thing was that just because culture says it's true doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
It's what the Bible says.
So you demonstrated that those who are in your church are actually products of the culture.
Right.
Yeah.
By posting the sign.
Right.
And so Bruce Jenner's a man.
That's an intention at all.
Right.
But
homosexuality is a sin. Again, nothing new in terms of what Christians have believed for thousands of years.
Right.
This is what the Bible teaches about what's a man, what's a woman. From the beginning, God created them male and female. In the image of God, he created them. This is foundational Christianity.
Right. Well, and I think another thing that I'm really disappointed in is just obviously there's been a shift. I mean, we know this already. There's been a shift about how people view church membership, how view elders, how people, like, there is a protocol that disqualifies men from being pastors.
Yeah. And what is that? According to the Bible.
Right.
Don't bring any accusation against an elder unless it's on the basis of 2 to 3 witnesses. That's God's law.
Right. And it certainly, so not only based off of 1 Timothy, did he do anything that would disqualify him from the pastoral position, but also the members of his church got together behind his back
like a mob,
and they all said, well, we're gonna leave if you don't this and this and blah blah blah. They didn't try to, if they believed it was sin and that their pastor was sinning, they needed to bring it to his attention, but instead they all just, like you said, there was a coup where they all just, they were like, well, we're gonna leave if you don't leave. So it's us, and it's like, what kind of church government is that? Like, how does that, if there was a sin happening, like, how would that solve or sanctify in any way?
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't. You guys got upset and you didn't like what he said, and so instead of talking to him about it, you just went behind his back and got him fired.
Yeah. It's juvenile behavior.
Yes.
And it's sinful. Indicative of, I mean, passages like, you take a passage like 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. The idea that someone who is biologically a male can be a female.
Yeah.
That's a myth.
That's a myth.
It's a fantasy. And this pastor, this man of God, was being faithful and standing on the words of Scripture, making a public proclamation with the sign that was vandalized, by the way, by the LGBT group.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything hateful. The perception that we've been taught is that what he said was hateful because you're committing the ultimate sin of our generation, which is, thou shalt let me do whatever I want.
Right.
And unless you're a Christian.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And
that's
so,
the hypocrisy, right?
So yeah, like the only thing he did was make a commentary. And he gave bullet points that were true to support that commentary.
Yep.
He said, example, statement.
Right.
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything unloving. But basically, if, you know, the group, the protester group that went out there just said that they were trying to have their message be one of love and support for anyone feels like they're the target of the sign. There is the society
Bruce
is the target
was
of the sign. There is no one being targeted in a violent way by the sign. We get targeted by things all the time. Targeted, like, you get targeted by ads by your Facebook.
Right.
Which we will talk about.
Like, you don't
That's
get...
That's coming. Sit tight. That's coming, folks.
So the thing is you can be the target of something without it being hateful or violent.
Right.
Like, that's...
That's a good point.
That's totally a thing. And so for people to characterize this as something that was hateful and that was, like, that was an intentional, ill-willed targeting of a group of people... That first of all, that's just not true. There's no evidence to suggest that. And then, like you said, not only did they protest, but they actually vandalized
destroyed property.
Yeah.
Right.
So the violence that was actually done, any sort of aggression that was actually done, was done by these peaceful protesters.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not blowing that out of proportion. I'm not going to say that vandalizing a sign is like hurting another person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that like you guys are.
But... it's still a violation of law.
Yeah.
It's retaliatory.
Right.
It's like,
Well, and I obviously we would say that what he did was the most loving thing you could do.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Jesus did. When Jesus approached people to give them the good news of the kingdom, like he said to the woman at the well, he said, oh yeah, the man that you're living with right now isn't your husband. As a matter of fact, you've had five husbands.
Right.
So before the grace that he gave her of knowing that she could drink from the waters of eternal life that he offered, there was the calling out of her sin and the recognition that she was in sin.
Yeah.
And so just like this pastor, Justin goes on to say in the article, this is about the gospel.
Yeah.
The fervor around the sign is ultimately about the gospel. Right. And as Christians, quoting him, says we should accept the challenge that the culture has thrown down in the sand when they've drawn the line. Christians need to step over that by preaching the gospel. And that's ultimately what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's about the good news.
Yep.
And this kind of attitude, though, this kind of behavior that the world sees from Christians, even speaking out, it won't be tolerated. Mm. It will not be tolerated. It will be silenced.
Yeah,
it will be oppressed because I don't want to hear it. I don't want the truth about who I am as a man. You know, God has made us as men and women with our bodies, how he's designed us to live in obedience to them.
Yeah.
Our biology says something about who we are and how we're to live.
Right.
It's not a neutral sphere that we can just mutilate and impose meaning on.
Mm.
It's already has preconditioned meaning at the hands of our creator.
Yeah.
So God has given us that. And you have a pastor like this who's speaking clearly and truthfully, and that reflects what scripture says about how men are to live in obedience to their bodies and not to be in hostility against themselves and essentially hate and destroy themselves. Yeah. And in the process, make a mockery of what a true woman is.
As our friend Toby says, every time Bruce Jenner gets up as a woman, he's giving the middle finger to females everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So simple truths communicated in the midst of a hostile culture will always be categorized as hate speech, bigoted, homophobic. And like this pastor says, though, it's about the gospel. He says, it's funny, he says, I believe they're sincere regarding the protesters, sincerely wrong.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Because, and then he says, they're pushing their agenda in the school system.
Yeah.
So they're pushing an agenda on our children in the school system. And then they're telling us, keep your Christianity in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So keep your Christianity in your little bubble. We're the ones who will own the indoctrination of the youth. We'll push our morality, our ethic, our what we call valuable, what we call good, what we call holy on them.
Yeah.
Right. But keep your message behind the walls where it belongs.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, that won't even be safe.
Keep your theology off my biology.
Right.
That's what our friend Doug over there calls the tolerance buzzsaw. I don't know if you guys can see on the camera, but the free speech apocalypse, he got the tolerance buzzsaw.
It's true.
And you know what this, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking this, what Pastor Hoke did was he pulled a David, right? He said, who are you, uncircumcised culture, to come against the army of the Lord? And he stood up, he drew that, like you said, he didn't just draw the line in the sand, he crossed the line that the LGBTQ ZB XYZ culture drew in the sand. And he said, I'm gonna step over it because your line is arbitrary.
Right. That's exactly right. He said it was about, the way he put it was great. It's about repentance and faith.
Yeah.
Repenting of sin, trusting in Jesus.
It's interesting too. I know you brought up the church government thing. I mean, he's Presbyterian and they obviously have a very...
Like a board of...
Yeah.
They have a firm stance on how church government is supposed to operate.
Yeah. So it's interesting how, I mean, I don't know the details behind that. So that's interesting how that came
into play. And of course we don't know exactly how they all...
Right.
Okay, but it sounds like it happened fairly quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I can't speak to whether or not this is, maybe some of the members had other issues with him or something like that. I'm not saying it was just the sign, but I still disagree with apparently how this went down.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to go down that way.
No, by any stretch of a biblical standard, it was not even, it had nothing to do with scripture. That's not how God addresses his church to handle something like this.
So Pastor Hoke, if you happen to see this, we would be honored to have you on and have you talk about what happened. So that being said, I'm going to play this clip here. Actually, Carmen's going to play it. So Carmen, if you want to get ready. So he says in the article that he posted this sign in reference to something that happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember. This must have happened a couple weeks ago now, I think.
It was. Yeah.
So there was a clearly, let's get this straight. He's clearly a man.
It was a man.
Carrying
dude.
A purse at a GameStop. And he became very angry because they referred to him as Sir. And so I'm going to play it. This actually is
several
the,
times.
The edited version because there's a lot of inappropriate language. So I was thankful I found one that was an edited version. So we're going to play this real quick and we'll talk about that. And then again, keep in mind, this was why Pastor Hoke did that sign in reference specifically to this video. So Carmen, go ahead.
No, we're not doing credit. You're going to give me my money back.
Excuse me, sir. There's a
man. Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I can call the police if you'd like me to. You need to settle down.
You need to settle down and mind your business, okay?
Sir,
ma'am, once again, ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
I actually said both of you guys. It was general.
Right beforehand, you said sir.
Sir?
Motherfucker, take it outside. If you want to call me sir again, I will show you a fucking sir.
I apologize.
Motherfucker.
I apologize.
I need your corporate number. Because I'm going to call them and talk about how it was misgendered several times in this store. I need your corporate number now. Well, I'm going to ask you for the fifth time to stop calling me a man. Because quite clearly, I am not.
And I apologize. I'm sorry for that, ma'am. I will get you that number. Is that okay?
Yes, get it for me now.
I'm asking to
stop
cussing.
Get it for me now. I'm not cussing.
Ma'am, I apologize.
You're just going to keep bucking your gums and disrespecting trans people in your store, which I plan on telling the entire LGBTQ community. You're going to lose money over this.
Okay, so...
Can I just say that in watching that, the angrier he got,
yeah,
the more masculine he sounded. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't suppress it. I mean, it's not funny, but watching it in retrospect is like the more agitated he got, like, I mean, clearly a man, you know, kicking stuff over, cussing this dude out at GameStop. You know, he was interviewed shortly after that. He said his actions were justified.
Yeah.
What the GameStop employee was doing was blatant and malicious hate.
Right.
Just calling him sir.
Right.
Just stating a fact.
Yeah.
Stating the reality. There's... Not being sucked into the fantasy. Not lying about who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's been a number of quite funny memes that have come up from
yeah,
this.
There have.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, he's clearly a male. And it's just, what's sad is the culture's at this point in time now where, a man, someone like this, can throw such a temper tantrum and destroy things and act like a child, and we have to submit to that because his feelings could have been hurt.
Right. Can I say this?
Go for it.
So let's rephrase a little bit. A man dressed up as a woman can do that and get away with it.
Right.
And have no repercussion. A man doing that, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now. That's where we're at.
No, you're absolutely
If you
right.
want to put on a wig, if you want to inject hormones into your body, if you want to mutilate yourself, you can act as out of line as you want to.
Yeah.
And there's no consequence. But if you want to act like a man, right? And I'm not saying that a man cursing out a GameStop employee is appropriate.
Right.
All right? That's not true masculinity.
Well, it's not appropriate for anyone to behave
right.
that way.
Right. Exactly.
Male or female, right?
Or
but,
child.
Right. But the point is if just imagine if a man did something like this.
Oh, this would be a completely different
Or if the employee
video.
Was a woman.
Mm.
Just imagine the outrage and the backlash that would come as a result of this. So when men dress up and act like women, as long as they have the disguise on and they lose their cool, no consequence. But a man doing this?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's funny because this is actually going to tie in perfectly to the end of our discussion today. I mean, when I first saw this video, it was comical to me because it was just like, okay, all right, dude.
You're
a little out of line here.
Right.
And I'll say this here. The video that we shared, I think Carmen stopped it, but if you keep watching, it's actually, there's a bunch of people saying how we should use correct pronouns. So
yeah.
That video was actually in support of him.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was the edited version. That's why I played that one. But it's just like,
that's considered perfectly appropriate.
It's
that's
crazy.
Considered righteous protest for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely appropriate because you are committing an act of violence against them when you misgender.
Yeah.
Because, well, and in a way, is in a part of their, like, in their system, it absolutely makes sense because in their system, which isn't a true system, so we don't have to go along with it.
Yeah.
It's their identity.
Right.
It is who
everything
they are.
Is about that.
It's who they are. It's their very, it's all the inner parts of them, the emotional parts, the mental parts, the physical parts. It is who they are. And so when you call an obvious him, she, you know, not she, even though he wants to be called she and all this stuff, you know, then you are, according to them, fundamentally attacking who they are and what gives them value.
Right.
I will say the only one that's attacked his physical parts was him.
Yeah. Well, and I know that there's like, it's just, there's a part too, there's a part of it that, it's not a there. Okay. So the idea, this is how you, successfully, create a movement like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about this earlier. You have to, take something that's natural and make it a social construct.
Oh, right, yeah.
So if it's natural, there's nothing you can do to change it, right? That is all kinds of stuff that happens naturally in this world. But if you can make those things not natural, but societal, so gender roles and gender norms are not natural.
Yeah.
They're societal.
They're based
created.
On consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you can change it. So if a man who looks like a man isn't natural, like if it's not biological and natural for a man to look like a man, if you can make that societal, then you can make it so that a man who looks like a man in women's clothing isn't a man.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. He's obviously still a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. This is the reason why a video exists that says it's an act of aggression and it's violence to not call someone what they want to be called,
right,
is because that is a part of how you make gender a construct and not something that is naturally
inherent.
Occurring.
Yeah. Mm. And that ideology is spreading into, I mean, the counseling fields.
Yeah.
I mean, physicians are literally under threat for their jobs and being paid and losing licenses because they refuse to indulge in this fantasy.
Mm.
And, you know, Christian counselors exhorting men to live in obedience to their bodies, exhorting women to live in obedience to their bodies, that's becoming taboo.
Well, yeah,
it's becoming banned.
Speaking of weed, California, they're trying to make it illegal, right, to tell someone that that you can't live that way.
Right. Yep. And
it's insane. This is again Romans 1, right?
Romans 1, totally,
it's
man.
God's judgment, been given over to the desires, right? Like, and that's when you've been given over and you're under God's judgment, you look foolish because foolishness looks normal, looks like truth when you're in God's judgment.
Yeah. And God's word is so clear in terms of, I mean, a man dressing up in woman's clothes. I mean, the law of God, the very word of God in the Old Testament says that that's an abomination to do that. And that's God's word, you know? And so there is a defined categorical reality of how the sexes are to act and relate to one another, of course. But you take an explicit command of scripture, like 1 Corinthians 16, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. There is a defined way of how we're supposed to live and relate to one another and act. And it's all been determined by God. It's not the product of a society. It's not the product of a consensus.
Well, there's a reason why you are referred to as he. If a stranger walked into the room right now, they would say his, he.
Right.
And they would say her, she, for me. That's not a construct.
Right.
There's a reason why, like, there's
we were designed that way, created that
right.
way.
And it's so natural, and I don't want people to totally misunderstand the point I'm trying to make, but there, I even do that. Like, there are transgender men that are like male to female that pass as females. And even in that instance, you're more likely to call that person she, mm-hmm. because they look she.
Right, right.
And that's how natural it is. It's not a construct. Like, it is a naturally occurring thing. And I'm not saying that because he looks like a she and that they won, you know, and now they are a female. They're still not a female, but like that's how pronoun stuff works. Like, it's very, it comes naturally. If it wasn't even necessarily that guy, that employee thought, I'm going to be hateful and call you the wrong pronoun right now.
he
looked at the guy and thought, you look like a man. Yeah.
Sir. Right.
And that's not it's because he naturally, he's geared to know what, he recognizes what a man looks like versus what a female looks like.
And the sad thing is, this way of life, I mean, this lifestyle, obviously this rebellion against God, I should say, it has an end to it. And the end isn't pretty. Like, when you live in disobedience to the way that God has made you, the end is destruction. I mean, people that
looks like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, and in this instance, in the instance of this sin, it's a very
self-destruction.
Not all sins have such destruction to the body. Like, you don't, you know, like many of us, by the grace of God, we were saved, and there we didn't have bodily, physically consequences.
Although we had spiritual baggage and all that.
And so you're talking about something that comes with, I mean, a lot of destruction, so much of, so like, God created naturally things. Originally they were good, obviously sin. But, you know, it's just, it's a hatred. It is a hatred for your body.
And that's why the gospel is such good news.
Amen.
It's because Jesus not only forgives you of your sins, washes you clean, gives you peace with God, reconciles you to your creator, and all of that, you know, gives you the gift of his Holy Spirit living in you. But to what end? To what end is to restore you to your original design and purpose? And so it's good news for the person, male or female, who's trying to be either or, who isn't. You're still made in the image of God.
Right.
You have the Imago Dei, you are the Imago Dei, but Jesus Christ, who walked this earth in perfect obedience to the Father, is the essence of the true image of God. Right? As a man walking this earth. Right? I mean, he defined everything, what it meant to be a true man, laying his life down for the other, being, you know, sacrificial, confrontation, all of these things that Jesus perfectly exemplified. But he's the perfect image of God that we look to. And so the gospel, the good news that's inherent for people who would call themselves trans or anyone trapped in this lifestyle, is that there's hope for you. As the image of God, you can be redeemed and restored, purchased from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the dominion of light, the kingdom of the Son that God loves, and he can restore you to your true intended purpose.
And with that, if you're in that position and you're watching this, we're not asking you to repent of being homosexual or repent of being a transgender. We're asking you to repent of all your sins.
It's a whole life of sin.
Exactly.
It's everything. When Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, renounce your whole way of life. Everything has to be changed. You have to become like a child and be converted and be born again. Everything has to change. And the good news is the work of the Spirit of God to do that within the life of a fallen sinner brings about something, the new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Absolutely.
The old has passed away and the new has come.
Amen. Great. That was great. Thank you.
It's just the words of God.
So, so with that, we would like to transition like Bruce Jenner into the next discussion. Carmen, get the next video up. So I just happened to see this today. There is a new cartoon, and I say cartoon, they clearly say it's for adults, but it's still a cartoon, and it's still going to appeal to children. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So there's a new Netflix cartoon called Super Drags.
Brace yourself for this one, guys. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's
so
tough to watch.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it just kind of fit perfectly in this discussion. So, Carmen, go ahead and play that, and then we'll talk about it briefly.
What are we waiting for, girls? Let's save them.
Help us!
Oh, I can't. I'm afraid of the water. Because it's going to ruin my Kim K contour.
I assembled a select group of ladyboys with amazing skills.
Let's go, ladies.
A woman?
A man?
Nope.
Oh. Ha.
Ha. It's the Super Drags!
Oh!
Now, sisters!
Mama's gonna suck every last bit of highlights from those queers!
Super Drags, save our sisters!
Suck all that, bitch!
So, I hope we didn't burn your eyeballs out for that one. Again, it's the normalization of, you know, drag queens and homosexuals and dudes kissing. And then you see, right. They say lesbians, there's girls kissing. And it's just everything that 10 years ago was completely taboo and inappropriate is now okay to put into cartoon form.
It's creatively evil.
Yeah.
Right? Romans 1, you said it already. They're inventors of evil.
Yeah.
Like, planes flying in the shape of a genital.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, from beginning to end, I mean, the drag and then just the creativity of it all.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're being very skillful in their evil that they're propagating. And the tagline was a very adult show.
Right.
But as everybody knows, everybody knows that kids are going to watch this. And even if they weren't, it's still a problem.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about earlier. It's still vile and disgusting.
Well, it represents just a really messed up sexual ethic. The sexual ethic of our society is just do whatever you want and do it extensively and dramatically. You don't
over the top. Yeah.
Like there's obviously going to be representation in media of homosexuality, transgenderism. There's going to be all kinds of representation
and
in
some
media.
Are subtle, some are really subtle references to these
but
things.
A show like this, the point of it is to be over the top and to be shocking, and that in a way is the essence of the sexual ethic of this nation, which is just do whatever. Like, there is nothing degrading. There is nothing. Some people will tell you that it's wrong, but it's not wrong. And rather than you just know that, you need to fly the flag of it's not wrongness. Like, it needs to be public. You need to have public displays of sexuality. I'm not just talking about representations of homosexuality. Like, I'm talking about just like blatant sexuality. And we know that it's not that sex is bad. It's that there is a place for it. God has made a distinction surrounding that.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is there's no distinction.
Yeah. There's no boundary, barrier,
right,
or any of that.
Right.
Because those things are prohibitions on freedom.
Right. And there's so little boundary on it that let's just make a show that is just over the top and has no boundaries, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. Obviously, we haven't seen the show. Has it even come out yet? Was that just
the
trailer?
I think that trailer just got dropped even today, maybe.
And you said,
I don't know. I mean, there's no, I haven't seen, I personally, there are a few like adult animation things that I like. But the last few things that have come out have been that, especially through Netflix. Netflix has been doing a lot of very crude, funny.
Do you remember when they started? They just had, you know, movies from mainstream before they started producing their own content.
Yeah.
There was maybe like one or two Netflix original movies or series. Now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And the things that they are propagating on there, I mean, it's straight up pornography.
Yeah.
You know, it's straight up pornography.
Well, and I'm sorry, but a lot of it is they're becoming sort of your standard network, which is that there are some quality good things being produced and then there are some bad things being like, and I'm just talking about the quality of it. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't know how many of you guys have watched whatever that A Christmas Prince, their Christmas movie that they released last year.
I saw Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So, well, they released A Christmas Prince last year and then a sequel this year.
I didn't see it.
And it's just, it's like something PureFlix would put out. Like, it's not good. It's just like, here's something. Consume this. Yeah. Just watch
That's it. It's indiscriminate production and consumption.
Right. Yes.
Of
that
filth.
That brings me exactly what I was going to say is...
Well, because that Christmas Prince is like wholesome. It's very, very clean.
Yeah.
But my point is like...
Why can't stuff be wholesome and clean and good?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like they got smut. This is just trash.
Right.
And it's well done.
Yeah.
Right. They put a lot of time and work to it. And they like graphically,
I'm sure there are some famous people in it. Like, I'm sure they're.
But why can't we as Christians make stuff that's wholesome and good and be good? Like well done. Like why? Why?
Yeah. That's a great
question.
There's
a few people out there, but
we know a few of those people.
We've talked about this.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you said it. I mean, we keep coming back to Romans 1, but I mean, if you look at what that verse says, I mean, if you look at verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And then for this reason, God gave them up to degrading passions.
Mm-hmm. That's
this
exactly
is degradation.
Right. Yeah.
It's degradation to what it means to be a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Like it's not wholesome. It's not lovely. It's not beautiful. It's not true. It's degrading.
Yeah.
You're degrading your body. And the love of God, the love of Christ compels us to tell you the truth and to say something about it. If you're a Christian out there, I mean, you have to say something about this.
Yeah.
Did
you guys see, I know I was gone for a week. Did you see that picture that popped up the other day? And it was like it was a dude.
Yeah.
Completely naked, but had makeup and stuff on with a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah. And like
people are celebrating
it.
Yeah. Like people are celebrating it. It was like, 10 years ago, that guy would be in jail right now.
Yeah.
You know, like that
shows how quickly
it's crazy.
The decline has taken place in the culture.
But that being said, if I can offer some encouragement, I've
positive
I've,
note.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a little bit. And
before you pack up and move to the woods.
Right. Stay with us.
We got this. I think I got this from this mindset from listening to Joe Boot. But these people, they're eventually going to die out. Right. And this is why it's so important to have a post-millennial mindset. Right. Because we as the Christians are the ones that are procreating. We're making children.
Yeah.
We're going to outlast this generation of nonsense and filth because none of them are having babies. And the ones that are having babies are murdering them before they're born. Yeah. So think long term. Let's, you know, as Christians, we need to stay strong. We need to continue to proclaim God's truth and the gospel, and this kingdom's going to grow and we're going to overcome this. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
But we will overcome this as long as God doesn't completely destroy our nation.
That's the thing.
And, which is what we deserve.
Right.
So if God shows us mercy and we outlast these filthy, wicked minds.
Perverted, crooked generation.
Exactly.
That's what it is. God's either going to, I mean, we are under judgment. This kind
of
thing.
It's
the fact that we have drag queen cartoons on Netflix, that's judgment.
Yeah.
God has us under his hand of judgment, and he is still being gracious, still being merciful, still showing restraint, still not wiping our nation off the face of the earth. He's still being long-suffering, mm-hmm. even after something like this.
He didn't allow us to elect Hillary Clinton as president.
Just,
when you look at Donald Trump as mercy.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know you're under God's judgment. So, that being said, we'll move to the last thing here. So now we want to look at, it's the latest commercial from Gillette, which probably everybody's seen now because mm-hmm. everybody's talking about it. And I was just telling them, I didn't actually see it till last night because I missed it this last week and I saw a bunch of chatter about it. So I do think there's some things we need to address. I do think there are people that are completely blowing it out of proportion. But
no, we need to be balanced our commentary.
The point is, well, then what is the culture saying a man should be?
Yeah. What's the right. template? What's the standard? Give us something. You tell me.
Anything
right?
besides the GameStop man.
Right. Give me something besides your arbitrary yeah. opinion of what a man should be.
Right.
And why should I listen to you as opposed to what the person next to you is saying?
Exactly. So, Carmen, if you want to go ahead and this is, like I said, the new commercial from Gillette. It says, We Believe the Best Men Can Be. Go ahead, Carmen.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it?
It's likely happening here in bullying as well.
A problem. We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
Once, but she says it's
a lot. And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool, not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men, they're everywhere.
And small.
I am strong.
I am strong.
But some is not enough.
It's not how we treat each other, okay?
Okay.
Because the boys watching today be the men of tomorrow.
So, the first thing I want to say is a lot of what I think this commercial is saying is actually good, you know, but I think if I had one major complaint about it, it seemed like it made white people look like the ones that are doing all of the awful things, and it made the minorities, you know. And so for me, and I'm not saying that white people don't do horrible things, you know, obviously
yeah.
we all do horrible things. I think if I had
Same
a complaint
problem.
Yeah, it's like it's drawing a further racial divide. It's making that worse than better.
I didn't even notice that, dude. I mean, in the video you're exactly right. Yeah, people that are stopping the yeah. man from like catcalling
yeah.
the woman is a black, and then you yeah. know
yeah absolutely. So if I had a complaint, and I want to obviously hear what Joy has to say in a minute, because you guys talk about this sort of thing a lot on Sheologians. Mm-hmm. So if I had a major complaint, that's what it would be. It did seem like maybe there was some gayness in there somewhere. Like there was a couple and when they zoomed in on those two guys, like, you know, like maybe they were trying to imply that they were gay together or something. I don't know. So there may have been some of that. And obviously, like, men shouldn't be catcalling. Men should be respectful. Men shouldn't be grabbing females' rear ends. You know, we shouldn't be talking down to women. We should be not allowing our kids to fight just because they're boys. You know, like, so it's almost like if there was a lesson from this, it's love your neighbor as you want to be loved, right? Like, that's a noble thing. That's a good thing. That's, of course, we know because scripture
yeah,
tells us
right standard.
So
right, yeah.
you know, there was another thing. You know, there's like the mom that's consoling the boy, and they're calling him sissy and all that. Like, you know,
bullying.
Yeah, like well,
right,
specifically yeah. for that instance, you know, I would want to see, if we're talking about being a man, I would want to see a dad consoling his son, you know, and
teaching him to reconcile.
Exactly.
Teaching him to forgive.
Exactly. So, I mean, those are kind of my thoughts initially when I saw this, but I'll let you guys tell me what you were thinking.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Summer wrote about this too, and she had a very good point about no media.
Sorry, Summer, I didn't see it.
I mean, no media is neutral. There's a worldview at the very bottom of every single thing that gets put out there, and Gillette is no different. And these are people that are paying 1 billion, gajillion, fafillion, billion dollars.
And that is a lot.
To propagate their message. And so, but these people don't exist in a vacuum. Like, they don't just have a neutral template where they say, oh, I'm just going to create an ad.
Yeah.
No.
That tells people to be good.
Right. They're intentionally pulling on the heartstrings of people with things that people care about. Obviously, they're pandering to the Me Too. Hashtag Me Too movement,
right?
Yeah,
they said it right at the beginning,
yeah. So they're pandering to that. But what the problem was for me is the association of things that are natural behaviors. For example, my son loves to wrestle. And loves to fight and loves to beat me up.
Well, and there's definitely a difference between wrestling and fighting and fighting.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Hatred for neighbor.
Right.
Right. So the association of that kind of behavior, okay, which is normal boy behavior. I mean, it's not that we should just let it go on. We need to do something about it. But comparing that to the objectification of women.
Right.
Right. There's a conflation of category there.
I think there's another thing too. Another thing that I noticed was that you had like men harassing women on the street, and then you had this portrayal of a man and a woman on a television set that are married, and the man's reaching for his wife's butt.
Right.
Which, I mean, we can have a conversation about whether or not it's appropriate to portray things like that
but
on TV.
But within the context of marriage,
but
that's where that takes place.
Well, and that's the thing, is that's considered, like, those two things are being compared. So, like, legitimate, like, violent fighting, hating of neighbor is being compared to two boys wrestling in the backyard.
Yeah, right.
And then a woman being harassed on the street by a stranger is being compared to her being harassed by her husband.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this to say that men get to do whatever they want with their wives, but it's not wrong in a healthy marriage for a husband to touch his wife's butt. It's okay, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's not
these babies
that's
got
not,
here. I mean,
that's
I'm just
not
saying.
Sexism. It's not right. Sexism. It.
Right.
Right.
No. Totally.
And so there is. It's kind of just a grab bag. And pardon me, but it is every single, I know this stuff. It touches on every single complaint that feminism has with men.
Yeah.
It is, kid you not, it is like a point by point by point.
The script.
Response to everything that feminists complain about.
Right. The boss speaking down, the CEO like speaking down to the woman in the boardroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So in a way, it's not even creative. It's incredibly generic.
Yeah.
And it encompasses all of this stuff that I've seen the arguments for and I've already taken care of.
Right.
Like there's not an argument here.
Boom.
Or
you can find it at apologiestudios.com.
Summer did a great job in Summer Rights. That's our little blog section. She did a great job addressing it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is it just not, it's like insulting. It's like, you're a razor company. Feminists have a problem with razor companies because they charge more for pink razors than men's razors, but I guess they're
equality.
Okay with it.
We need equality.
Yeah. You made a great point about this. So I'm on you to finish your thought, but I want you to talk about the Dollar Shave.
Oh, well,
and how
yeah.
affects us.
It's just fair to mention the fact that the reason you're seeing advertisements become more aggressive like this is an aggressive pull because it pulls on people's heartstrings, right? And not in the way that's like, oh, God made a farmer. That's so touching, you know? Like you've seen those, right? Where you're like, wow, yeah. But this is intentionally pulling on your heartstrings to affect a worldview change, right? And the reason for that is, the reason why you can't just market a razor and say, this razor is better than the other guy's razor, it cuts better, it only has one blade instead of three blades, is because you're being hurt you're being hurt by other businesses like Dollar Shave Club that can send you a subscription for a few bucks a month, give you some razor heads and some cocoa butter, right? Or whatever, whatever stuff is. I tried it, by the way. It actually doesn't work that good.
And you don't have to you don't have to subscribe to any morality that Dollar Shave Club.
Just give me the product that I want and let me shave my face. Don't tell me how to live.
You brought up a good point. I mean, I get annoyed by, because just this whole transgender movement or whatever, they've just tried so hard to force this upon everyone. It's like, I can't even go to the bank and get money out of the ATM without being we support homosexuals. And you can hardly go anywhere. The places that that take a stand and say we're not like that are places like Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out, and Hobby Lobby, and that's about it. Everyone else, they're like, oh no, welcome to Home Depot. I don't know if Home Depot does or not. I hope not, because I love Home Depot. But I'll say Target. Welcome to Target. It's like a
gay
rainbow
pride
Target
section.
Exactly. It's just like, come on, can I just shop? Can I give you my money in exchange for goods without your propaganda being forced down my throat? And I think that's
it's
what
a
you're
business,
saying.
Not an indoctrination center, right? And so again, worldview. No neutrality is what's at the bottom of this. And by the way, just an interesting kind of note. If you want to tell us how a man should behave, if you want to give us a worldview by which to live that values women and doesn't objectify them, you will find no better worldview morality than the biblical one.
Amen.
Because the message of Christianity and the gospel came into the first century and turned it on its head. You had women who were seen as second-class citizens, who were seen as less. They were seen as the objects. Wives were to carry on the family name, and that's all men used them for. Mm-hmm. They had sex with, their concubines and their servants and even, children, right? And what happened as a result of the gospel, the biblical worldview, the Imago Dei coming in? Let me give you an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This would have been incredibly offensive to the first century audience that Paul was writing to. Verse 4. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And every feminist goes, ah! But the next part of that verse is everything. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does.
Yeah.
You want to know what worldview produced dignity and value of women? It was the biblical worldview, because that idea, the idea that a man's body didn't belong to himself, that he couldn't do whatever he wanted to with it, was only a result of the Christian framework and the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, husbands, you guys that think you can just live how you want and do your thing with whoever you want, actually your wife is the one who has authority over your body.
Mm.
And so you want a liberation from oppression.
Isn't that what feminists want?
Right. You want a liberation from oppression? You want a liberation from being held down? Well, congratulations. Jesus Christ and his gospel is what gives
Zach's
it to you.
Zach's preaching fire today. So I think that maybe Carmen can work on this. I think we should do our own video of what a man should be.
That'd be cool.
And the first thing is we're going to throw away the razors, because if you're a man, you don't shave.
But, hey, I was thinking about it. This is kind of getting annoying.
No, I mean, for
real,
though, like you said, like have men showing their sons how to reconcile. Men standing out at the abortion mill trying to save babies.
Amen.
Men not standing outside while their girlfriends and wives are inside aborting their babies. We can do that too,
We'll give you an objective basis for it too.
Exactly.
Not just our opinion.
Well, yeah, this is the ad is basically just a summation of all the things that sexual freedom has got us. So the feminists demanded sexual freedom, and then they got it, and then they didn't like that it made men into rapists and assaulters and
Did you say assaulters?
Not assaulters. I don't even know. I don't think assaulter is a word, but
it is.
Like you read from the Psalms?
Yeah, like you
church.
Read from the Psalms.
No, well,
read from the Psalter?
Yeah, that kind of Psalm.
Okay, thank you.
Not like a Psalter.
Stop mansplaining me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I don't know what happened in our comment thread today.
Actually, what she meant to say was...
Actually.
Let me tell you what Joy meant, okay?
I don't know what happened, but there's a whole comment section about people, quote, blazing to get a better relationship with Christ. What happened? How did we... Oh. I'm talking about smoking weed.
Yeah, oh, weed. I was in high school once too. Looking I know what that means.
Weed. I'm like, what? I just happen to look, and it's I get closer to Christ when I blaze. Like, what just happened? How did we get? Anyways,
they're just being buffoons. I think.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, Joy. I wanted to give you the respect that's saying, due to you as a woman, as a sister in Christ.
I was just saying the reason why feminists think men are so bad is because they just said, "Hey, men, don't be men. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Come into relationship with me." And then walk away. Don't take care of me. Don't take care of my children. And so there you go. You tried to be God.
Right.
Didn't work. And then it didn't work because men are sinful.
Yeah.
And I don't
just mean,
are. I don't mean just men. I mean people.
Right.
Men too, but also women.
But I will say I'm pretty sinful.
But, and so now we have to tighten up our morality. You have to tighten up to make sure men know what they can't do. So it's like, oh, well, first we told you could do whatever you want. But now that's not really the case. So we have to let you know that you can't wrestle. You can't barbecue in your backyard
with
500 of your closest friends.
Right, yeah. That's a big party, bro. Who's there?
But yeah, it's just, it is, the reason I appreciate that, you know, so Gillette doesn't need to be responsible for my morality, but I appreciate when stuff like this comes out because it is just so obvious to the person who knows how to look at it. To the Christian, it's like, yeah, of course it's not working with you as God. Yeah. Of course.
Yep.
That reminds me of the, I know we got to close up here, but we did I think it was a TV episode with Ben and Rebecca Merkel. And Ben talked about that, and it was phenomenal. He nailed it right on the head.
I remember
that
one.
It was like everything that we're talking about right now is because men stop being men.
Right.
And
it all had to do.
If you haven't seen that, look for it. Apologies.
It all had to do with second wave feminism and the sexual revolution.
Right. And I'll give it to you: when men aren't men, society crumbles.
Yeah.
And nothing is a better indication of that than what we're seeing right now. Yeah. So, it's not toxic masculinity that's the problem. It's the lack of masculinity, period.
Yeah.
There isn't enough of it.
Right.
If there was true godly biblical masculinity, our nation would not be in the state that it is in right now. If there was a vision of godly leadership, if there was faithful husbands and fathers at home in the family, if there were faithful, and there are, I'm not saying there aren't, there are faithful men.
Because that's another thing.
There are
this
faithful
gets
pastors.
Wrong.
Yeah.
There are faithful men in civil government who do want to honor God and do want to obey him.
Did you hear the divine line from last week? I know I keep saying we're going to stop, but I just was listening to it today. And Dr. White, who barely had a voice, he was talking about, and he was going off like I've never heard him go off before. And it was, I think he was talking about the Dutch and stuff and how like Abraham Kuypers was the prime minister or whatever and how far it's gone in like 100 years. And he's talking about masculinity and, you know, even where we're at in our nation today, he was, you know, saying some of these other countries, they're further down the road than us. He's like, who do you call when you need Navy SEALs? It's us. Like, who do you call when you need men? You call on the United States, you know, and like, we're not that far from that.
And
but the point was like, yeah, like you're exactly what you're saying. When masculinity crumbles, so does the nation.
Right.
You no longer have anybody to defend yourself.
How does Rusty say it? As goes the father, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation.
Exactly.
It's only logical. And I think the message ultimately that we're proclaiming, like, listen, you want a society that has all of the benefits like the one America has, but don't want the worldview underneath it? I'm sorry, you can't separate those two things. You cannot bifurcate that. You can't take it and say, I just want the bennies, but I don't want God.
The bennies.
I just want the good stuff, but I don't want the framework that allows me to have a basis to have the good stuff.
Right.
Because I don't want God.
Exactly.
And so it just comes down to hatred of God, hatred of his word, hatred of his law. And that's why it's only the gospel.
Amen.
It's going to change hearts.
Amen. Well, I think it's been a good show. Thank you, Hamburglar,
sure.
And Joy, the girl that happens to be married.
I wish I had a hamburger today, bro. I'm like feeling it. All I can think about is that patty.
Yeah. I had some Bubba's last week. That was the first burger he took of mine. It was Bubba's and Kauai.
Yeah, he would definitely steal your hamburger today.
I would. unashamedly.
Well, thank you, everyone. That's all access. As always, none of this exists without your partnership with us. So thank you very much. We are forever grateful to you for the support you give us. If you're not all access, you can go to ApologiaStudios.com and sign up. It's $9.95 a month. You get all kinds of extra bennies, as Zach so eloquently
the bennies, just not said. the bennies.
Yes, but we're grateful for that. We're grateful for all your support. You can go to An Abortion Now and sign up. Speaking of men, that
AnAbortionNow.com,
that stand up for the lives of the unborn. Talk to Zach. AnAbortionNow.com. We are also grateful to everyone that's been a part of that and supported that. And one more time, just in case you missed it at the beginning, if you guys are able to partner with us with our mission in Kauai, we would be forever grateful for that as well. We have a need right now we're trying to fill. So you can, if you have any questions, feel free to hit us up. And on that note, we will be back next week. Zach Attack.
Peace out. Deuces.
Joy the girl.
See ya.
Peace out, everyone. Thank you very much, and God bless.